The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scientists at the National Centers for Disease Control released the results of our study.
Is the deadly disease AIDS now a health threat to the general population?
Robert Scott Bell.
What is the difference between HIV and AIDS?
I don't know exactly.
HIV is wow.
I don't know the difference.
HIV is less deadly.
Robert Scott Bell.
We need to find something that'll scare the American people so they won't give us more money.
An additional $30 billion.
And at least $50 billion.
We're investing $30 million in new money.
There were memos around the CDC that says we need to find a new plague.
It's ludicrous that you can be positive in one country and not positive in another.
What happens if you're positive on one criteria but negative on another manufacturer's criteria? How do you decide who's infected and who's not?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Welcome everyone from around planet Earth for a special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. My dear friend and contributor, Liam Schiff, the conspiracy realist, and more than that, beyond that, he was featured in the film House of Numbers, particularly in the arena of HIV testing and HIV testing fraud. There's more to it than that, but this is World AIDS Day. Reality demands that we call it what it truly is, World HIV Fraud Day. And this is the day it ends. So thank you for being here all around planet Earth on the Robert Scott Bell Show, listening through naturalnewsradio.com. Those of you listening later through prepperpodcast.com or catching the video versions of this afterwards or downloading it later. There are no bad seats here. And this is a very empowering day. It's also one where the so-called pseudoscientist orthodoxy of the AIDS HIV community, that religion, that cult, are not going to be very pleased with what's happening for the next 2 hours. Now, before I bring Liam up, and this is really, this is his baby here that we're just holding along the way, getting it out to everybody, a very special day. There are a lot of headlines that pop up every year about this time to keep the AIDS meme going, to keep the fear going, to keep the pharmaceutical profit making going, to keep the money flowing in. Here's just a dose of a few headlines. We may or may not have time to go into the stories because there's so much we have to do here. Hope for new AIDS protection seen in mouse study, right? Mice with AIDS. Few in U.S. have virus under control. This is according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Creation, that get everything wrong. New York City caught between budget crunch and rising AIDS cost. Yeah, right. Okay, we can eliminate their budget crisis tomorrow. Actually, we'll do it today within the next 2 hours. Many with HIV not getting meds. Of course, the CDC, pharmaceutical propagandist and promoter. Whoa, wait, China. China now says HIV AIDS. What is that? Cases are soaring, which will tell you what that really means. But right now, let's kick it into gear. 866-939-BELL. If you have any questions or comments along the way, we'll hear from you later. Right now, Liam Schiff, welcome back. It is World HIV Fraud Day.
And here we are on World HIV Fraud Day. HIV fraud, 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 fraud. We need that Sunday announcement.
Yeah, we need some echo in this one. I mean, this one is going to reverberate around planet Earth. Of course, over the years of covering this, some of the times we got to cover it together, we've really made some transformation, not because of anything so powerful that we are, per se, but what you've identified, Liam, and uncovered, what we've been talking about here, it is literally vibrating in a way that people are going, oh, man, I get it. I think I get it. And that's the simplicity with which we want to drive a lot of the science into that realm and level today. And you've been challenged. You have a lot of audio footage we're going to be releasing today. A lot, in fact, from House of Numbers, the extended footage that we also link to at robertscottbell.com and liamschiff.com as well.
Here, our friend Brent Leung, filmmaker extraordinaire. Putting together House of Numbers has hundreds of hours of footage that didn't make it into the final cut of a 90-minute film. Of course, you can't put in everything you get, and there's magical stuff out there. This is what we're talking about today is the HIV testing section. And this is now being released for you, for your doctor, for your mother and father, your brother and sister, your cousin, your aunt, your nephew, anybody you know, your neighbor, your neighborhood, your YMCA, your local library can now show this HIV testing special, free of charge. You can download it, you can burn it, you can take off the audio, you can give it to your clinician, you can walk up to the HIV testing van and say, you guys better watch this because the jig is up, mm-hmm. fellas. We're on to you. We know what's happening. We don't buy it anymore. So what we're going to be doing is walking through for the next hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
We're going to be walking through clips and describing what's happening and talking about the reality of HIV testing in the words of HIV test manufacturers and experts, clinicians, diagnosticians, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to start with a clip that talks about something that we're going to call false positives. And in this clip, you're going to hear myself. You're going to hear independent AIDS researcher, critic David Crow, who has probably compiled the largest database of HIV literature and made it available to the public at great personal expense. That we get attacked for revealing the dark secrets of these overlords. He has made this public, so he's in the film. You'll hear him. And then you'll hear a fellow called Neil Constantine. Who's he? An AIDS denialist? No. He's a virologist. He works in the HIV field at the University of Maryland. He's the director of the clinical immunology department at the Institute of Human Virology. So he's a muckety-muck. He's a higher up.
Inside.
His name's Neil Constantine. You're going to hear from him briefly in this clip, and he's going to say exactly what we are saying. That's how you understand we're reading from the medical literature. Now, right before we jump in, you're going to hear a few terms in the next hour. One of them is ELISA. One of them is Western blot. And another, you'll hear the words P24 and P41. And I'm just going to very briefly tell you what these are. When you go to get an HIV test, you're given supposedly and what's called an ELISA test. It's an enzyme. That's what the E is for, enzyme test. It's a protein test. It shows whether your blood reacts with the proteins in the test kit. Those proteins are what we're going to talk about. Those proteins have numbers. When you have the ELISA, you have the proteins all jumped, bundled up in a little tiny plastic well on a sheet. When you split those proteins apart, you put them on a piece of paper, you call that a Western blot test. So they're all kind, there's a Southern blot, and anyway, there are all kinds of tests. And these proteins are stretched out on a piece of paper, literally on a piece of paper, and they're pushed across the piece of paper, probably by a light electrical signal, but they're pushed across the piece of paper, and they settle at different regions according to their approximate weight. It's a very imperfect science. And then those proteins are separated into bands, and then you're tested, and that's called a Western blot. Same proteins, not a different test, just a different way of arranging them.
Right. So we say P24, et cetera, your protein 24.
Protein 41. So we're going to say P24 and P41. These are approximate weights in something called kilodaltons. Very, 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 a thousandth of a piece of dust. You're talking very,
well
very,
said.
Very light stuff.
Yeah.
So again, ELISA, Western blot, and P24, P41. That's about all. We'll say rapid test, but everything else you should probably get just by using your noggin. Here, let's go with clip one from
the House of Numbers.
From House of Numbers, special extended release testing section. Thanks, Brent Leung, for doing the hard work of interviewing the experts and getting them to tell the truth.
The scientific literature clearly shows that there are about 70 different conditions that can cause a false positive HIV test, and some of those conditions are quite common.
Human or technical errors, other viruses, and vaccines.
Have you ever had a flu shot?
Liver diseases, parenteral substance abuse, drug abuse, hemodialysis, or vaccinations for hepatitis B, rabies, or influenza, unpasteurized cow's milk.
Now, Robert, I want to say, I'm reading from the medical literature. I have it in front of me. And if you watch the movie, you'll see me reading from the medical literature. David Crow is citing the medical literature. I'm actually reading from it. Now, I'm about to laugh. I said unpasteurized in the movie.
Yes.
I say unpasteurized cow's milk. I'm not kidding. I'm reading from the journal called Transfusion. I believe it's 1988. Listen to how this goes.
Bovine exposure or cross-reactivity with other human retroviruses.
Bovine exposure makes HIV tests come up positive. Bovine exposure. Drinking raw milk, drinking milk.
The thing we like to do here. So the healthiest people could end up testing positive. We'll talk about how that turns into a false positive by, well, not design, but by opinion.
We'll get there. Now, keep listening. You're going to hear the voices of, you heard David Crow, you've heard me. Who's coming next?
Renal failure, liver disease, blood transfusions.
Syphilis and malaria, autoimmune diseases are notorious for interfering with some of these tests and perhaps producing a false positive result.
Syphilis and malaria, autoimmune diseases, who's saying that? Not an AIDS denialist. No, this is Neil Constantine, PhD, Director of Clinical Immunology at the Institute of Human Virology, University of Maryland. He is an AIDS muckety-muck. What did he just say? Syphilis, malaria, autoimmune diseases. No, we're not making this up. These are the facts.
You can test positive if you've been exposed to the tuberculosis microbe, or not just if you've got TB, but if you've a friend, a close contact who's got TB.
Hypogammaglobulinemia, which just means increased levels of antibodies in general. Pregnancy, which is well known to produce false positive tests to many antigens. Multiple blood transfusions is another one.
So what did we just hear? We heard Neville Hodgkinson at the end, and at the very end we heard Dr. Valander Turner, a researcher
who... We talked about him recently.
A month ago, yeah. Brent Leung released The Emperor's New Virus, which we'll talk a little about later in the episode. But there you have heard, tuberculosis, not just you having TB, but if you have a close friend who has a TB.
And if I may add, Liam, on the TB issue, we talked about it in terms of the Occupy Wall Street in Atlanta. Remember that? They were saying, oh, there's TB among... This is such a common disease among anybody that, you know, is in close quarters, not nutritionally sufficient and nutritionally deficient, in fact, and maybe on medicines or other things. And of course, you'll find that they target the poorest on planet Earth with lots of TB, positives to TB exposure, even if you don't have TB. Suddenly now, HIV positive for you. This is significant because what's happening here, as Liam has said, the very muckety-mucks, the scientists that are in support of the HIV causes AIDS, and if you claim it doesn't, you're a denialist, you're evil, you're dangerous. They're admitting exactly what we're saying here.
They are, and they do. We're going to move to the next clip. So there are, David Crow said 70-plus. I'd say there are hundreds. There's no known quantity or to the number of things that make these tests come up reactive. If you look at the standard medical literature and the test inserts, the legally required package inserts that contain legal disclaimers showing the limitations of the test so that the test makers cannot be sued, they're indemnified against lawsuits. So they say in the test, for example, you know, if you have something that's flammable, it has to have, say, on the bottom, this is flammable, right. Or something that's toxic, it has to say this is toxic. You can still sell it to people. The manufacturer is now indemnified against major lawsuit because they told you.
Well, we told you, but how many people see it or read it?
What do HIV tests say? They say this test, there is no standard right now at present for determining the absence or presence of antibodies to HIV. In other words, we cannot tell you whether you are or not infected with this test. That's what the standard medical literature says, and we'll get into that literature a little bit more down the line. Now, we're going to listen in this clip to a number of doctors, including we've got Robin Weiss, a big dude over in Great Britain, who talks about HIV, who's one of the capo de tutti capi there. Robin Weiss in London. He is the professor of viral oncology, Department of Immunology and Molecular Pathology at University of College London. We're then going to hear from Luc Montagnier.
The so-called discoverer, co-discoverer, right, they say, of the HIV.
Nobel Prize laureate in last year for doing something in 1983. We will analyze what he did in 1983.
Yes.
We're going to hear from Dr. Redfield, who's, forgive me for a second while I search this, Robert R. Redfield, sorry about that, Director of Clinical Care and Research, Baltimore, Maryland. The Institute of Human Virology was co-founded by Dr. Redfield. He is going to tell us some things about HIV testing, and we're going to hear about how it was in the beginning. You're going to hear from me, where I'm going to talk about HIV testing, how it was in the beginning, and then we're going to hear from Robert Gallo.
Ooh.
Robert Gallo, the guy who really invented the field.
The test.
Proposed it,
right.
And he's going to have something to say. And I just really want you to listen to what he has to say. Let's roll.
How was Gallo's first test? Was that accurate?
The first test developed by Borgallo and his colleagues at NIH was quite inaccurate.
I think the Abbott test was not very specific at the beginning.
For example, the Defense Department.
I think the Abbott test was not very specific in the beginning, says Luc Montagnier. Says, I think the Abbott test was not very specific in the beginning. Well, now of course, it's all better. We'll get to that. What did Robin Weiss say? He said Bob Gallo's test, the HIV test that he sold to Abbott Labs, it's called the Abbott because he sold it to Abbott Labs. No, I don't think it was very good, he says. So we're going to go to Robert Redfield now.
But if you were reactive by the screening test and a low-risk population joining the military, two-thirds of those people were really not HIV infected.
What's that? If you went into the military and got a mandatory test, two-thirds of everybody who was positive was not really infected?
That's a stunning statement. Come on.
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Oops, that's not like a 99% were right on and a percent we missed, right? Two-thirds were not.
In their estimation.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
This is from the New England Journal of Medicine. In 1985, at the beginning of the HIV testing, it was known that 68 to 89% of all repeatedly reacted HIV antibody tests were false. Some 70 to 90%.
70 to 90% of all HIV positives were false in the 80s. We're looking at the 80s.
The baseline, where it all started.
Yeah.
Where they made all the projections, all the predictions. 70 to 90% they admit, acknowledge, and say, well, wasn't so accurate.
Right. So why did people die? We'll get into that.
All right.
And finally, here's Robert Gallo.
At the beginning, they only used the ELISA, and we were worried for a while because we felt certain that a backup was necessary.
Oh, Robert Gallo was a little worried.
A little worried.
What could he mean? Maybe when we come back.
Well, yeah, maybe it was profits on the test selling. I don't know. We're going to find out about this. Of course, the profiting off of cultures of death, not something we want to see continue here. That's why we're doing this very special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. As we kick into the month of December, it is World HIV Fraud Day. And you're only going to hear about it here, honestly, in media like nowhere else. Liam Sheff, my special, special contributor on this very important show. And thank you for being here. Say thanks to all those who support this message of health freedom as well. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show.
You're listening to a special edition of the Robert Scott Bevel Show, World HIV Fraud Day, as it should be known. That's how we're labeling it here. Liam Sheff is with me to guide us through this new footage from House of Numbers Extended on the testing side of things available. We've got the links up at robertscottbell.com. Check it out. Thanks to Natural News for helping to get the word out as well. Robert Gallo, this is a guy, he's been known as a kind of a lying, criminal, thieving guy. I mean, there's a lot of controversy. This guy's paid fines, and of course, he claimed to discover HIV. It turns out the French and U.S. government had to come to a conclusion that was different because, Montagnier said, hey, this was my sample you took, right? We won't get into all of that right now, but just to set the stage, here's a guy who came up with a test, patented it, and has made profits, handsome profits off of it for many years. But he was worried about this test early on.
We heard him just say, oh, we were worried about the ELISA test. We thought we needed a backup. In other words, the test that we're giving everybody we know is terrible, is awful, does not work at all. By the way, the numbers they give of 70 to 90% inefficient are a lie. The entire test is contaminated. We'll get into that too. But what did they use for a backup? They decided to take the same proteins and put them on a piece of paper. That's called a Western blot. So it's the same proteins. Why is this test going to be accurate? Let's listen to Neville Hodgkinson, a longtime British journalist, published in the major papers over there. We're then going to hear from Claudia Kuscherer. And Claudia is a molecular biologist. She's worked with the German government. She works at the Robert Koch Institute. She's a muckety-muck in Germany. And she's going to tell us about this thing that's supposed to be the backup. We're going to hear a little bit from me. We're going to hear a little bit from Valander Turner and some other people in the next couple clips. Let's just get right into Western blot testing with our friend Neville Hodgkinson.
Some people argue that that we have a confirmatory test in some parts, some Western countries, and that repeated testing can lead you to a safer diagnosis. But if the very basis of the test is faulty, then nothing works, in fact.
When you're looking at this Western blot, how do you determine what is a positive?
You need a certain number of bands being present. It depends a little bit on the producer of the test.
It depends on the manufacturer. Is there different criteria for what might be a positive?
Yeah, there are different criteria from the manufacturer. Thank you for the word. And also, there are guidelines from the WHO and UNAIDS.
Now, Brent Leung asked Claudia Kuscherer, how do you determine who's positive? This is the confirmatory test. Now, what Neville said was, if the basis of testing, and we'll get into that, is flawed, then why are you going to trust this next test? And Claudia is saying, well, we have all these criteria. How many criteria are there? Ready to go? Let's hear what Claudia gives to Brent in terms of information.
Claudia showed me the package insert that comes with the Western blot. It contains 8 different sets of criteria for diagnosing HIV infection.
Because of the different criteria that apply in different countries, you can be considered, you can test HIV positive in one country and be given an AIDS diagnosis as a result of that, whereas in another country you won't test HIV positive and you won't be given an AIDS diagnosis.
It's ludicrous that you can be positive in one country and not positive in another.
That's Valander Turner, Dr. Valander Turner, research biochemist, at the end talking about how silly it is. He's essentially providing a little bit of commentary, but with his partner in writing, Eleni Papadopoulos, he has penned some of the most incisive papers on the analysis of HIV testing. He's not just giving you an opinion. He really, truly understands the chemical nature of these tests.
And Liam, I must add that there is no other disease that they can say is one thing in one country and somehow it's magically not that in another. I mean, that was a whole new transformation of a definition of a disease, which really is a syndrome, which really is immune deficiency, which we'll get into, and we have talked about it, but the problems with the test call the whole thing into question.
If you are positive across a border and negative on the other side, we have to admit to ourselves something. These tests, at this point, without going any further, we have to say that the testing, as it exists now, has no value. because something that has a changing value from room to room has no particular value.
I must add that I will correct that only in the sense that it has a value to the pharmaceutical industrial complex, a very powerful value there.
Well, that's well taken.
Yeah.
And you can figure out then who is being served, cui bono, to whom the good. We're going to jump into something called the changing criteria. We're going to hear again from Val Turner. We're going to hear from Robert Redfield again. Robert Redfield is a mainstream AIDS researcher, but listen to him talk. How do you figure out who's really positive with all these criteria? Let's jump into it.
This is where the argument was early on, is how do you define criteria? In the early days, people actually developed criteria that were too much like a screening test. So if you had just P24, they might have called it a positive.
Remember we mentioned P24, protein 24? Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about. Let's keep
Many people were diagnosed using these criteria, and then it was realized that 40% of people who are completely healthy have one or more Western blot bands, most commonly a P24 band. Now, in 1993, the FDA changed their criteria. They dropped the need to have P32.
What was the result of the change?
They had more positives. On the FDA criteria, there are more positive tests.
So there you get a sense that we don't have time to get into it.
The shifting sands of testing, validating, not validating. Suddenly, he mentioned just at the end there that suddenly you had loads more people that were testing positive. And remember the news stories of how, wow, massive acceleration in cases of AIDS worldwide. It related to that specific thing. And who in the lay audience, the people reading these stories, knew anything about the criminal fraud that was going on behind the scenes?
Exactly. So what we have is an understanding now that these tests are interpreted. And the protein, by the way, that's supposed to be the most specific protein for a very specific thing is apparently available in about 40% of healthy people tested. We haven't tested the entire human population. It's very important to recognize that these proteins also, in clinical studies, cross-react with proteins that have identical molecular weight. So if we talk about a P41 or a P24 or P18, you have these proteins and they react in the body with proteins called like actin and myosin. In other words, actin is something that we're made of. Myosin is something that we're made of. So what were the proteins? We'll get to that. Why do they seem to have the same weight as normal proteins? We'll get to it. Let's listen to Claudia Kuscher and Robin Weiss just weigh in again. We're talking about Western blots. Claudia is going to say one more thing about ELISA testing, and Robin Weiss is going to say, I thought the Western blot was the criteria to establish true infectivity. Let's hear what he says.
If an ELISA is positive, it does not mean that the patient is HIV positive. That's a problem.
If an ELISA is positive, it doesn't mean a patient is HIV positive. That's a problem. Well, let's do a Western blot, Robin.
I don't think the Western blot is a useful diagnostic test. I don't think it's worth doing.
Well,
whoa. I mean, you're getting some major conflict within these scientific circles that all supposedly agree about the whole paradigm of AIDS.
Exactly. Do Western blots have the same? Let's listen to this. Do Western blots have the same problems? Yeah, they're the same proteins.
Any reason to get false positive Western blot tests? Causes of indeterminate blot Western blot tests include lymphoma, multiple sclerosis, injection drug use, liver disease, or autoimmune disorders. Also, there appears to be healthy individuals with antibodies that cross-react. The Western blot is not used as a screening tool because it yields an unacceptably high percentage of indeterminate results.
So that's me reading from the medical literature.
Indeterminate results.
Unacceptably high measure of... We don't screen with it. No, it's the confirmatory test. We can't screen with it because it sucks. But we can confirm with it because it sucks?
What? Excuse me?
So that's where we are. We've got tons of false positives. So what's a true positive? Rodney Richards, I think, was co-founder of, do I have this right, of Amgen?
I think so, yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. We'll look that up and get that for you by the end of the show. But he helped build and design the first HIV test. Well, fortunately, the man has a great mind and a great conscience because he's come out and said what the limits of these things are. Let's listen to Rodney Richards explain. We're not talking about false positives. What are we talking about?
It is true that there's many publications in the literature that speak of false positive test results on HIV tests due to a multitude of different factors. However, I want to emphasize that the term false positive is really a misnomer because there is no test for HIV. Whoa. So if we can't say which sample is truly infected and which one is not infected, then how can we judge whether or not Another test is scoring falsely positive or truly positive.
The specificity of these tests have not been scientifically evaluated, and this should have been done before they were introduced into clinical practice.
And that's Valander Turner explaining that there is no validation for
Holy tamale is what you got to say here. Because at this point you have the insiders, the developers saying that there is no HIV test. There's no test.
That's what Rodney Richards is saying. Why is he saying it? Because he helped build it. And when you review the medical literature and the legally mandated package insert documentation, you go, oh, okay, this is not a test for HIV. We did this the other day. I got a rapid test package insert from a local van.
That's right. We talked about that.
In a supermarket, in a mall parking lot, where they're getting all the tag-alongs, essentially the poor, the worried well, coming because they don't want to do it at the doctor, so they give them a free test. This is a rapid test. It says this isn't even, you know, I read the package insert. It says if you test positive on this, you're not positive. You're preliminary positive.
Preliminarily. It's like, wait, that's HIV getting ready to get on the track to run. It's not ready, but we haven't called you to the track. I mean, what is that?
You're the worried well. They have to scare you. This is the a catechism. This
fear
is
induction.
You're now entering the confessional.
Yeah.
So how do they get you? They don't get you with the test. There is no positive. There is no true positive. There is no negative. There's no true negative. Roberto Giraldo did a study with lab technicians in his lab a decade or so ago where he took everybody's blood and he took the test and he ran the blood through the test. But instead of diluting it 400 times so that it was a very weak mixture of blood, he just tested the blood as is. Do you remember what he found? He found that everybody,
100% positive test results.
Right.
When you don't dilute the blood to extraordinary.
And I asked this of the doctor running the clinic in the gay neighborhood in Boston. I asked him, how did the test work? I heard if you don't dilute them, everybody tests positive. He said, yeah, that's the way it works. Hmm. When I was writing about AIDS at the Weekly Dig for a Weekly Dig newspaper for the AIDS debate special, which we'll have up in links so you can read that. So how do you do it? If it's not the test, what is it? That becomes the question. And Brent, our friend Brent, your friend Brent, if you're out there learning about HIV, went to South Africa, Joburg, Durban, South Africa, and got a test right there in the public area where all the other people who are poor and black go to get their life their tea leaves red.
This is the pharmaceutical fishnet that's going to ensnare you if you're not listening to this show and if you're not aware of the things that are revealed in House of Numbers, particularly today on World HIV Fraud Day on the Robert Scott Bell Show, where we reveal the extended footage available to you for free download. All the links are there at robertscottbell.com and liamsheff.com. Thank you for being with us. This is maybe shocking to you, maybe welcome news to you. However you're taking it, we're glad to be delivering it because it's empowering information. You do with it as you will. And we'll be back to explain more after this break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes
like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Some of you may be shocked, absolutely in shock, about learning the tests do not test it for anything. There is no HIV test. But what is it that they utilize the test for if it's not to test for HIV? Now we get into another aspect of criteria, risk groups, let's say opinion-based designations of someone's positivity or AIDS-specific, if there can be something like that, diagnosis.
Here we enter the realm of HIV profiling. We're not really using a test, we're profiling. We're going to hear, Brent asks a question of Professor Reinhard Kurth. He's another AIDS muckety-muck over in Germany, former president of the Robert Koch Institute, or Robert Koch Institute, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Virologist and physician Reinhard Kurth was the director of the Robert Koch Institute in Berlin from 96 to 2008. He's a higher up in the movie. He's very critical of the dissidents or people who disagree with what he's saying. But let's listen to what he says. Brent asks, what is this risk assessment? What are we doing? What is risk assessment?
What is the purpose of risk assessment?
Well, you're right, to get an indication whether we have to expect a positive result or not.
What? To get an indication of whether we
expect, did he say expect?
Whether we're going to expect a positive. I got to do that.
Play it again.
What is the purpose of risk assessment?
Well, you're right, to get an indication whether we have to expect a positive result or not.
Whether we have to expect?
Yes.
Wow.
To get an indication of whether we have to expect a positive result or not. Because we know the tests suck.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a positive result because everything is or isn't. I mean, but we have to expect it.
We have to expect it.
What kind of world are we living in?
Brent goes to South Africa here. Let's listen to what happens. It's instructional.
It's 7 a.m. here in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I'm a little nervous because I'm about to go in for my first HIV test.
Tell me about your sex life.
My sex life.
What? Is there any other way that you have exposed yourself and you feel you might have contracted HIV virus since you're here?
No, I'm not gay and I'm not a hemophiliac. I've never had a blood transfusion and I've never used intravenous drugs. So I think it's impossible for me to have it. So, did the answers to these questions help aid in the diagnosis?
Of course they did.
Really?
They do.
So, Brent is there. He's in South Africa. He goes to the public square where they...
Similar to what you did here in America. right?
He gives his blood. They do it here now. They use rapid tests. Rapid tests contain only one or two proteins, not eight proteins. That's what you're supposed to do. One or two proteins. They're grown in molecular biology labs. They're recombinant, which means they come about through this consensus agreement between labs. How much, how do we build it? They grow it in bacteria. It's not real. It's synthesized. It's spit out. It doesn't occur in the human body. It doesn't occur in a virus. They put it into a test. You go to a rapid testing center. They give this test. They ask these questions. Have you done anything? Are you gay? Are you a drug user? Do these questions, do these answers to these questions help you determine my diagnosis? Well, of course they do.
Hmm. And there's even less specificity on the so-called, as if there was any specificity at all. You could throw it completely out the window. I think they're wholly and totally completely dependent upon how you answer the question.
The rapid test is fraudulent, even in
pure,
mainstream terms.
Pure fraud.
Yeah. Even Claudia, if we have this in a clip, I don't know if we do, but Claudia Kirschner says in the movie, we're not allowed to use these rapid tests for diagnosis, but over there in Africa, over here in the parking lot in Fort Lauderdale, I guess you are. Now, we're going to continue with this conversation about risk assessment. Let's listen to doctors and clinicians talk about what's happening with risk assessment.
How do you decide how to interpret as a technician? What do you do?
I will ask in addition, is there a pregnancy? Is there any allergy known? Is there additional information to have more information on if it could be cross-reacting antibodies or true infection?
What's that? Could it be cross-reacting antibodies with what?
Cross-reacting antibodies.
Pregnancy.
Right.
Allergies.
Remember what you said earlier? Allergy. Oh, my gosh. Did they say allergies? Do you know how many Americans and Westerners have allergies? It's very rare to find a child with no allergies.
So this is Claudia Kirschner, a researcher, worked with the government, works with the Robert Koch Institute over there in Berlin. I ask the patient whether they – is that the first thing she asks? No, there's something else. We'll get to that. Let's continue.
The problem is that we can't distinguish between a false positive and a true positive HIV test. The tendency is to call it a true positive if somebody's in one of the risk groups.
And for sure, the first question is there risk? This I didn't even talk about, but it's one of the very first questions. Is there risk for infection?
Okay, and is that the risk assessment section?
Yeah.
So he asked Claudia, what's the first question? Are you at risk?
Are you in a risk group?
Because otherwise, we shouldn't give you this test. Because the tests stink.
What was it? You know, we need to determine between a true positive and a false positive. I mean, it's like playing a childhood game of let's play true or false, right?
David Crow says they can't tell you. So they what do? They fake it. They go and they ask you these questions. They throw a lot of people away. They throw a lot of people
back.
It's a
deadly game show.
I interviewed somebody this year who was a PhD. We might have her on the show. She's agreed. I've been a little lackadaisical in making it happen, but we can get her back on this show. She's a PhD. She got a positive test. She was freaked out. I told her to do all the reading. She went to her doctor. She said, I'm confused. I'm not in a risk group, so-and-so. They came back to her a week later and said, would you be surprised if we told you you weren't really positive? She's white. She's a PhD. She's a psychologist. So, you know, she's not – they threw her back. They took away her result. Mm. Let's continue with this clip.
If you have risk factors like you admit to being gay and to having had sex recently without a condom, you're suddenly at higher risk. And this test is very meaningful for you, say we. You come in, you're a straight guy, come from a good family. You're a little worried because you had a European fling, but she was a nice girl. Nah, don't worry about it.
Can you imagine what would happen if we tested all the white kids who went down to Cancun for spring break? Can you imagine? We wouldn't do it. We don't do it because they're not at. In other words, they're not poor, black, gay, ghettoized. They're not those populations.
Target populations.
Our target populations.
Yeah.
We got one more clip from South Africa. I don't know if do we have time in this.
Yeah,
segment?
We do. Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's listen to this from South Africa now, Brent. She's very hard to understand. We'll clarify it. Brent talks to the person running the test center there. Where, it's not even a center. It's just an open table. That's how they do it. And he's going to talk with her about what's happening. They're doing rapid tests. Again, terrible, terrible things that should be illegal.
We always say to our clients, even if you have tested here, you can go to other centers and go and test and verify your test. You cannot say 100%.
You can go to other centers and verify your test. We cannot say 100%.
Because you find clients going from area to area doing tests, and they come with stories that I was negative at a certain area, I'm positive with you.
How do they decide whether they're positive or negative?
We cannot tell because we are using a rapid test.
We cannot tell because we're using a rapid test, but how do they determine if you're truly positive? They use another rapid test. They do one rapid test, they do another, and if they're confused, they do a tiebreaker rapid test.
Wow.
Why is Africa considered a place with a lot of HIV? Because they do HIV testing there. Why isn't Beverly Hills? Because they don't. It's not that that's as complicated as it gets.
Well, you mentioned how that your friend that we were going to get on the show eventually, how they threw her back, right?
Yep.
What we're trying to do here is to give you enough information so that you, without waiting for any authority or authoritarian believer in this cult, you know, science, pseudoscience, that you will throw this back. I mean, that's a big part of this once you recognize how false this is.
We want you to feel liberated to go and return your fake HIV diagnosis to your doctor. It's not real. You may have immune deficiency. Illness is real. Intoxicated livers are real. Gut dysbiosis is real, and it can be from problematic to deadly, depending on how you care for it. And if you become an HIV slave and you believe that your only problem is an invisible thing that cannot be tested for, and we're going to get into that. We're going to dive all the way down and through the double-sided mirror, through the rabbit hole, come out in Wonderland and come back out in the next couple of segments.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit there and you drink your poison and you take your poison and you take your meds and you don't take care of yourself and you live that lifestyle, you have become a slave to this thing and you've stopped taking care of the thing that matters, which is your body.
Mm.
It's not easy to take care of a human body in this Western environment. We have no really good models. Andrew Weil is not going to do it for you. Oprah is not going to do it for you. You really,
even Dr. Oz is not going
to
do it for you.
You got to work much harder than the television. You actually have to read, study, commit, find good advisors, naturopaths, friends. You have to change what you eat, change where you shop, change what's in your refrigerator, change what's in your head. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, stress from all sources, from within as well, can do a number on our immune system and every other system in the body. And one of the biggest head cases that comes out of the pharmaceutical complex happened with the advent of the so-called acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. Then they blamed the retrovirus that's called HIV. But now we're seeing, with the extended edition of House of Numbers, the footage is up there at robertscottbell.com today, just released. And as we're continuing with this with Liam Sheff, revealing the fact that there is no HIV test. And beyond that, what he acknowledged is also true, that there is immune deficiency in many people in the West, many people in Africa, for many, many reasons. And we need to address that rather than looking back at the dawn of age and saying, well, what about all those people that died? Didn't they die of HIV? Well, we'll mention the fact that it was a pharmaceutical induction of death. And we'll mention that as well on the other side of this break. Special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, HIV Fraud Day. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at EnterFood.com. Like me, the folks at EnterFood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, EnterFood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. EnterFood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. EnterFood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight, organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. EnterFood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at EnterFood.com. That's EnterFood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
We continue now with our special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, HIV Fraud Day. And Liam, I ask you, how did certain cultures or subcultures accept this death sentence or even a culture of death? I mean, this seemed to be almost too orchestrated. It was bizarre. Now that we're learning more and more about the behind the scenes, the lack of scientific validity of the entire paradigm of which billions and billions and many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people have been impacted negatively. Where was the embracing? How was the embracement happening of this culture of death?
By force and by hook and by crook. There was a previously released special from House of Numbers in which Joseph Sonnabend talks about Matilda Krim forwarding this agenda that this is suddenly a heterosexual problem. And Joseph Sonnabend shakes his head and says, "What are you talking about? Then this is suddenly scientific news." But it's not. It's PR, public relations put forward by the AIDS activist groups like AMFAR and, unfortunately, ACT UP and AIDS Truth. This is Jim Forat. He's a co-founding member of ACT UP and other groups. He's an activist and a writer, independent researcher. Let's listen to what he says about what gay men, young gay men, went through.
The doctor's supposed to give you his advice or her advice, and you're supposed to make a decision based upon that. And if you say no, that medical provider is supposed to respect your position. That changed with AIDS because you were not being a good patient if you didn't do the HIV test, if you didn't do the drugs, the drug at the moment that was being told. If you didn't do those things, then you wanted to die. You know, the person is afraid of dying, you know, is terrified of dying. A young person, we're talking about almost all young people, who's terrified of dying, to be told, if you don't do this, you're going to die, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. That happened over and over and over again. And that's why when the PWAs got together for the first time in Denver, I think it was 1986, and drew up the Denver Principles, one of the first things in those principles was, we have a right to say no to our medical provider, and to be respected, and to be continue to have a relationship with that medical provider.
Well, what he's describing is a culture of groupthink that descended very quickly and in an orchestrated manner.
On the gay community.
On the gay community. Yeah. If you don't take the test, you're not in. We don't like you. We don't trust you. If you don't take the drugs that are on the market, we don't like you. And you're going to die.
Unbelievable. So horrific what happened. I mean, you know, people like the Freddie Mercurys, right? The famous people that lost their lives.
Arthur Ashe, yeah. Ryan White,
who Elton John have sort of adopted. And they came up with all of their foundations and the red ribbons and such. These people, these kids even, all died of the treatment. The treatment
was AZT.
Admitted by the orthodoxy, is it not?
They admit that the AZT, in their words, was too toxic or given at an intolerable dose. In other words, it killed people.
Yeah, in other words, they admitted it without coming out and saying, well, we did it.
Yes, we killed a lot of people, but we're still the good guys. No, you're not the good guys. You're murderers. You killed, and the gay community sucked it up and went with it. And if you understand the psychology of the gay community, you look at a ghettoized, rather unloved population, not permitted to participate in many of the normal processes right. of civil society. You don't know what it was like in the 60s, 50s, 70s. It was as we're a much more open and tolerant culture, at least on the coasts, in our public discourse than we were. You could be killed on the street, and it happened for being gay. You certainly could be beaten up, bullied, fired, and hated in your entire life for being gay. So the gay communities went into this ghetto lifestyle, this underground party lifestyle. They are men. You have to understand that to understand why illness happened among young men. Sex-obsessed and male and young all go together. They're synonyms. Homosexual, heterosexual is the same. Young men are sex-obsessed. So they're chasing sex. They're chasing drugs. They're chasing sensation. They don't have a ladder to climb in the corporate world. They don't have anywhere to go. They can't go back home. They had to run away from Oklahoma. They had to run away from Kansas.
Let's be honest. So much of their lifestyle was a disaster waiting to happen. You know, if a heterosexual lived that lifestyle,
be dead. Even among,
yes, and people had predicted that there would be a so-called gay plague, basically, based on the high incidence of use of illicit street drugs because of the STDs, high incidence use of antibiotic drugs, which was destroying their gut ecology, on top of malnutrition, on top of alcohol and other drugs, partying, lack of sleep. I mean, you name the thing that they were doing, and it was a disaster for the immune system. That's why we don't argue about immune dysfunction, even dysregulation. But now if you're looking at a cause being a retrovirus that can't even be detected by the very tests, they admit that they can't. This is why we're doing this more than just one community, because there are hemophiliacs involved. There are children of you know, innocently born in continents like Africa that are targeted. I mean, this is a pharmaceutical disease.
This is a pharmaceutical eugenic
program,
mm-hmm. a holocaust. Now they've spread it to China, and they've convinced the Chinese authorities to test all of their poor rural people who are exposed to toxins from mining, from metallurgy, from all of the things in the ground that are being dug up without regard to human life. And it is a disaster, and they're going to kill possibly millions of people because they've been told by the West that they have to believe in this new Leviticus, this 11th commandment, this sort of strange, I don't know, catechism, this odd
thou shalt confession. Get tested.
Thou shalt get tested. Thou shalt fear your own sexuality. Even though we have clearly established this is not a problem of a sexual encounter. This is a multifactorial toxicological problem. This is clearly not an STD because there's no mark that appears anywhere on you. This isn't sexually transmitted. It is acquired as illness, not HIV, but AIDS is acquired person by person in their own
individually,
life.
Individually, yes.
It is an individually acquired, not by transmission, but through accrual. Now, what Robert said about the test being a fraud is true, but it's very important to remember that the basis of the tests is what they call HIV. So if the tests, the proteins, are supposed to represent some sort of virus, the fact that the proteins do not represent a virus has to lead you to the next nagging question. What is it that we're calling HIV? What is it that these proteins really do come from? And when we come back after the hour, we will hear the muckety mucks talk about it.
Yeah, this is really a groundbreaking show, Liam. I appreciate so much you taking the time to parse all the audio and video from House of Numbers, the extended version, down for download on the testing specifically. Thanks to Brent Leung, House of Numbers. Check it out. We've got all the links online at robertscottbell.com. Let this message be heard. Spread it around. Send the links. They're there for free download now. And when we come back, we're going to hear more of these pseudoscientific muckety mucks. These are the orthodoxy in the AIDS establishment, the belief in the HIV, etc., that are going to dismantle their own argument by their own words. We'll let them do that. And so I appreciate you all being here. Liam, again, thank you so very much. Thanks to everybody that's supporting this message of health freedom as well. The World HIV Fraud Day continues on the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you have a question or comment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Through all of this controversy, intensity, etc., remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
It's my
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scientists at the National Centers for Disease Control released the results of our study.
Is the deadly disease AIDS now a health threat to the general population?
Robert Scott Bell.
What is the difference between HIV and AIDS?
I don't know exactly.
HIV is wow.
I don't know the difference.
HIV is
less deadly.
Robert Scott Bell.
We need to find something that'll scare the American people so they won't give us more money.
An additional $30 billion.
At least $50 billion.
We're investing $30 million in new money.
There were memos around the CDC that we need to find a new plague.
It's ludicrous that you can be positive in one country and not positive in another.
What happens if you're positive on one criteria but negative on another manufacturer's criteria? How do you decide who's infected and who's not?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
The New York Times is reporting a competition for an AIDS memorial design for somewhere in Manhattan, somewhere in New York City, called the St. Vincent's Triangle Park. Will they have the memorial right? Unless they listen to the show today and last hour, where Liam Sheff and I were uncovering a lot of information never before revealed in this particular way. New footage from the movie, the film House of Numbers. We're indebted to Brent Leung for all of his great work, all of the footage that he couldn't fit into the film, available now, free for download, for you to spread around planet Earth about the fact that now we know, through that so-called looking glass, we found out the HIV test is anything but that which they claim it to be. And with their own words, they admit that. This hour, can we go further, Liam? Is it possible we can take it even further?
We're gonna dive through the looking glass and come out on the other side, because the HIV test being fraudulent tells the rest of the story. The tests aren't just some artifact that's applied to people who... It's not just something separable from the idea of HIV itself. If the tests are fraudulent, what does it say about the virus that's supposed to cause the thing, which we've already identified has a million causes? What does it say about that so-called virus? We're going to listen to a few people talk about that in these next few clips.
Mm-hmm. By the way, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Second hour here on our special edition here, World HIV Fraud Day. Last hour, we dismantled a lot of the illusions about the validity of the so-called HIV test, so that you may have the opportunity to return it. I mean, literally, you're going out holiday shopping. You don't like it? Return it. This is the case here. You are not going to like it when you learn the things that we have learned over many years of study. And Liam has revealed also in the movie, the film House of Numbers. And more of that, we should see more of the returns, appropriately so. Reject it. Reject it. Reject it. Nullify it. Whatever you have to do, you will lead a much healthier, happier life, because you will address genuine immune issues that any and all of us, whatever your background, religious belief, sexual orientation are, we all have challenges. If we lead lives that are more hygienic than other lives, we tend to be healthier. If we lead lives more filled with good nutrition and good diet, we tend to be healthier. If we lead lives that are more, let's say, filled with exercise and pushing our bodies in positive ways, we tend to be healthier. And this is true for anybody on planet Earth. Of course, it starts there, it ends there, but we've been kind of distracted, or much of the planet has been distracted by a new paradigm, one that says a retrovirus that we can't even detect, we can't even test for, suddenly will mysteriously kill you, we don't know when. Initially, at the beginning of AIDS, they said it would happen in 6 months, a year, 2 years, then it went to 5, then 7, 10, 15, 20, 30, we don't know how long. Are you a non-progressor, an elitist, elite non-progressor, all of these things, these fantasies we've covered here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. But this one, this year, very special, because we have more evidence from the mouths of those who would purport to say, we know what AIDS is and it's caused by this retrovirus, but their own words betray them. And that's what we're doing.
Let's listen to Rodney Richards, again, co-developer of the first HIV test with his partners, I believe at Amgen, for Abbott Labs, talking about the language. This is just an entryway. We're going to walk through the portal of the language. He's going to talk about the language describing. We're all told HIV causes AIDS. Let's listen to this.
It's interesting to see how the language has changed in the manufacturer's test kits over time. In 1994, Abbott Laboratories states the etiological agent, or the causative agent, of AIDS is a retrovirus called HIV. By 1996, they have changed this language to state epidemiological data suggests that AIDS is caused by HIV. More recently, a manufacturer of a rapid test kit called OraQuick states acquired immunodeficiency syndrome is thought to be caused by the human immunodeficiency virus. And then even more recently, the manufacturer of another ELISA states published data indicate a strong correlation between AIDS and a retrovirus referred to as HIV.
Wow.
So you can see the language has been loosening up in these package inserts as time has been progressing.
Remember that these manufacturers aren't stupid. They have to indemnify themselves against
serious lawsuits, and there have been suits recorded over these so-called false diagnoses.
Right, but they're all false. And what he's saying there is that where they came out and said, oh, we are going to say this is the cause. Now they say, well, we're going to kind of correlate the suggestion of what we think is happening in the test, which isn't real, with this other thing. So there's a correlation. Well, there's a correlation because you test a lot of sick people with a test that comes up positive for every kind of sickness. So yeah, there's a correlation. It's not that the tests indicate the presence of a particular thing. But the tests do. Remember we talked about P24 and P41. We can be a little bit wonky now. We can be a little bit funny. You know, Luc Montagnier was supposedly discovered HIV. Well, he didn't call it HIV. He called it LAV.
LAV, I remember that, yes.
Which meant swollen lymph node associated virus. That sounds a lot different than deadly sex virus. Swollen lymph node associated virus. LAV, lymph node adenopathy, virus. So that's what he was saying. Well, we have LAV. Well, he didn't. Was it the cause? No, it's swollen lymph node associated virus. And what did he find? He didn't find a particular particle. They couldn't purify. And we're going to talk to the guy who took some microscope pictures, electron microscope pictures, about what they did actually find. But before we do that, let's understand that they had stuff that he got from a guy, he called him patient BRU, I think that was part of his name, or the initials of his name. And he was a gay man, and he had swollen lymph nodes, and, you know, Lord knows about his lifestyle and the drugs that he used. And they said, well, if we culture your lymph nodes, we can get them to produce some proteins. Now, remember, the most important protein, P24, then maybe P41. Well, Luc Montagnier didn't even find some of the most important proteins. I believe he didn't even find P24, or was it P41?
I think he's on the record saying as such.
Right. Well, we didn't even find it. So Luc Montagnier didn't find the most important proteins, but he supposedly discovered. So did the proteins come from the virus? No. Later, Robert Gallo said, well, the most important protein that we believe is part of a virus that we don't have to find, because we'll get into that, is we're going to call it a P41 protein. Well, I don't have P41. I have P45. Well, let's negotiate. So we'll call that one P41. Do you have P24? No, we have P25. Let's call that P24. How about you, Jay Levy? Do you have any extra protein? Well, we have a P18. Okay, that's got to be part of the same
Pingo.
Virus. Yep, there we go.
I got Pingo.
Oh, what do you have? Do you have a 120? Yeah, we'll take that 120. That must make other things.
I'll see your 120. I'll raise you a P24.
Right, I'll raise you an 18 or a 45.
This sounds much like the democracy of deciding what flu shot. Let's see, what are we throwing this year's flu shot? Let's go with this. This sounds good. I mean, this is so patently unscientific, the way they went about this. Yet they held the mantle, the media. The media fawned over this story. They perpetrated the story. They're equally guilty in perpetrating these lies and the fraud that has killed perhaps hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, definitely hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands of people died in the 90s alone on AZT. Remember, we heard Jim Forat, co-founding member of ACT UP and other groups, activist, researcher, talking about how doctors refused to see you if you were a gay man and you wouldn't get an HIV test. They told you were going to die unless you took AZT. But when you took AZT, you died. What were they promising? Then the mainstream pulls back from AZT and says, whoops, too much. Let's lower the dose. And let's not apologize. Let's just lower the dose and add new drugs. The new drugs all cause AIDS by liver failure, AIDS by fat suppression or fat reaccumulation in different parts of the body. So when you go to the AIDS meccas, thebody.com, and look up their Ask a Doctor page, you have thousands of people writing and saying, my body is falling apart on this drug. I can't go. I go to the bathroom all the time, except when I really want to. I throw up all the time. I'm going blind. The fat's being sucked out of my arms and legs, but it's all the drugs. My mm-hmm. doctor doesn't want me to switch drugs. I want to switch drugs. What should I do? That's AIDS talk. They're HIV slaves. Mm. They believe that they're infected with something, but they're not. They are sick.
Right.
They're definitely sick. They may be infected with 1,000 things, but they're not infected with one thing.
Scientifically speaking, we, again, validating this issue. This is not just hearsay as we say this.
And now what we're going to do is we're going to hear a little bit about what was in these cell cultures that were so important. Now, when you look at their initial studies, we're going to get right into that audio, but when you look at their initial studies, Gallows, the major studies, they weren't really looking for a virus. The funny thing is Gallows said, this is too fragile. It sheds its envelope. We can't pin it down. Infectivity will be really difficult. Well, they're not talking about a particular thing. Gallo also said that they're always coming up with, there's always a different gene sequence. So what they're doing is they're going fishing in cell cultures, and we're going to talk a little about what was in those cell cultures. The funny thing is they start to look for an enzyme. The enzyme, remember we have Western blot, ELISA, these are the names you may remember from the first part of the show. Now there's an enzyme. The enzyme's called reverse transcriptase. And this enzyme was thought to be very special and important. It's not just one enzyme. It's an enzyme process. Thought to be very important because it copied stuff into the genome.
Right.
Reverse. Well, it's not really reverse. Genomes are fluid. But they didn't understand that because they believed Watson and Crick, the guys credited with discovery of the genome. Well, because they said, we're establishing the central dogma. They're wrong, but they're saying, we're going to establish central dogma. Information goes out, never goes back in. Of course, information comes back in. It's a fluid genome. They were wrong.
They didn't have that back then.
Reverse transcriptase allows the copying back in. But they look for this enzyme, and that, in all of the AIDS, early AIDS papers, and even most
they pointed at that this was our, we found it,
that's,
reverse, right?
Hey,
this was our sign.
That's our LAVBRUHTLV3. They had so many names for the thing, it was crazy. You know, again, it was a political consensus to come up
with. Are we before or after HTLV 1, 2, and 3?
2 and 3. You know, they're always looking for reverse transcriptase, but let's listen to this. Here they say in their 48 HTLV3 patients, in other words, they found reverse transcriptase in them. Nothing particular. Listen to this. 18 out of 21 people who had swollen lymph nodes had what they considered HIV or HTLV3, what they would eventually call HIV. In 3 out of 8 juvenile patients that they said have AIDS, in 3 out of 8, you follow the numbers? 3 out of 8, they said they had their HTLV3, they'd later call it HIV, in 3 out of 8. In 10 out of 21 adult AIDS patients, they said they had HIV.
This sounds like the CDC. They suck at math, too.
10 out of 21. 49% of people who have AIDS have HIV.
How could that be the cause, right?
We're done.
You're done right there.
But they take the proteins that they culture and they turn them into a test. Now, where do they get the proteins? They get them from Gallo mixed together, literally the tissue samples, the plasma samples from, 10 patients?
He went to the junkyard.
He mixed together all kinds of people's blood. He mixed it with stuff that he had previously, leukemia T cell lines, leukemia white blood cell lines. He mixed it together. He grew stuff. He grew proteins. He then took the proteins, and they took those out. And remember how bad those early tests were? Mm-hmm. Those are the proteins. He took proteins out of that. Remember the 70 to 90%? We think that the mainstream says
the
these
foundation
sucks.
Upon which the HIV causation theory hypothesis, what is it now? It was resting.
A fraud. The HIV fraud case. Mm-hmm. So what are the proteins? Do we have time in this? Can we play this?
You can play a clip, yeah.
This is Eleni Papadopoulos. She's a researcher in the Perth group in Australia. And bear with her. We'll explain what she means when we come back from the break. She's going to talk about the proteins. Are they specific? Are they from anything? What are these things?
The proteins, all the proteins are found, which are found in the infected, the so-called infected cultures, they are also found in the non-infected cultures. Some of them in smaller quantities, but nonetheless, they are there.
The proteins that are found in the so-called infected cultures, what the mainstream will lie to you and call HIV infected, are also found in the non-infected cultures.
Which renders the entire hypothesis done, over,
cooked,
toast, right?
There is no single cause of immune deficiency.
Not only is there no spoon, there's no HIV as the cause of AIDS. We've done it.
When we come back, we're going to continue down that line, and we're going to listen to the microscopist who did the original photography for the original stuff way back when in the early 80s with Luc Montagnier, and we're going to hear what he says about what they actually found.
And it's not looking good for the bad guys. That's great. HIV Fraud Day special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff continues after this. Say thanks to our sponsors. We're coming right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Never underestimate the power of powerful, if you will, investigative reporting, discovery, digging, and then that reporting, which no longer exists in the old media, which perpetrates the fraud, perpetrates the lies. Here you have Liam Sheff uncovering things, as he has for many years, which is why he was featured in the film House of Numbers with the extended footage that we now have access to for free, for download, available. We've got the links up at robertscottbell.com on the HIV testing fraud. And it's more than that. It's beyond that. And this is catching, not like a real virus, because there is no real virus in this case, but it's catching because the truth is resonating now. People are seeing through it, and the scientists themselves, as they like to call themselves, I would question that, with their own words from their own mouths, are basically condemning their entire hypothesis to death. That's the death we don't mind seeing. The death of people wrongly bought into this testing mythology and then wrongly accused of having something that they don't have and then condemning them to death with pharmaceutical drugs, that must end. It will end. And it's only going to end when you choose that it ends, when you reject the lies, when you reject the tests that don't test for what they claim. And that is why we're doing this special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show here on HIV Fraud Test Day. Okay?
Now, when we left, we were talking with Eleni Papadopoulos. This is, again, from the wonderful newly released HIV testing special from House of Numbers, a film by Brent Leung, being made available to the public now in this special edition documentary that you can download from our websites and YouTube, and you can share with your doctor and clinician, your school. It features mainstream AIDS top-level experts explaining why you shouldn't trust a word that they say. Now, remember, nobody can purify this thing because there's no single thing there. Robert Gallo says in early papers, the genome is always different. In other words, he's not smart enough to say, gosh, we're not really finding one thing. We're sampling different parts of expressed genome out of dysfunctional cells. No, no, no. It all must be part of a virus. Like, I don't have one protein and you don't have one protein, but together maybe we can combine them and come up with a consensus agreement. And then we'll have all, between eight labs, we'll come up with an idea of a virus. That's what they did. By 1997, a research team led by Julian Best published a paper, and they tried really hard to purify something. What did they come up with? Eleni Papadopoulos writes, and she says, Bess, she's talking about Dr. Julian Bess. Let's listen to Eleni say what they found.
We asked Bess why they labeled these other three proteins as HIV. And he said that they put this label because that's what the reviewer asked them. But they did not have evidence themselves that they were HIV proteins.
He stated that they did not have evidence that they were HIV proteins?
Yes, he stated that they did not obtain themselves, but the reviewer asked them.
All right, is that a little confusing? Let's understand what she just said. Bess worked really hard. They couldn't purify anything. In fact, the paper talks about cellular contamination in HIV purification. What did they have? She says that they didn't label any of the proteins except three. There's supposed to be eight specific proteins. She said they just abandoned all the proteins in this muck, this terrible mixture, except for three. She then says they were labeled as HIV proteins. She then said they had a correspondence with Dr. Best. Said, why did you label those HIV proteins? Because they clearly didn't come from anywhere, and you can find those in what you call non-infected people. And Best said the reviewer, the journal publisher, told us to label those proteins as HIV proteins.
The reviewer, the publisher.
The publisher.
You must label them this way. Why? You just must.
You must, because we are propagating and perpetuating
a major fraud.
A fraud. Mm-hmm. And if you don't label any of the proteins in your terrible mess as HIV proteins, people will become suspicious.
We'll have nothing.
We'll have nothing left.
And the House of Cards would have come tumbling down right then and there.
Yeah, House of Cards and the House of Numbers.
Yeah.
And what we have to do, I'm sorry, I'm reminded by a joke. I'm reminded of a joke in the television show Futurama, and they have a kind of Captain Kirk character, and he's a terrible blowhard, and he says, and right then the House of Cards would have tumbled down like a stack of dominoes. Checkmate. You know, and he just keeps mixing his metaphors.
Well, that's what they've done in so-called AIDS research. They've just mixed it all.
Checkmate.
It's appropriate.
We're done.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. Penalty. Mm-hmm. So, you want to hear her say it again? Let's hear her say it again.
We asked Bess why they labeled these other three proteins as HIV. And he said that they put this label because that's what the reviewer asked them. But they did not have evidence themselves that they were HIV proteins.
He stated that they did not have evidence that they were HIV proteins?
Yes, he stated that they did not obtain themselves, but the reviewer asked them.
Do you get it? 1997, we're 14, 15 years into the thing.
Yeah.
There's no purification. There's no particular particle. All of the proteins that occur in the tests that occur in the bodies of so-called AIDS patients or people who supposedly... people who have immune deficiency, but if people who have so-called HIV also occur in people who supposedly don't. In other words, the proteins aren't specific. Yes, in some sick people, sometimes some proteins are elevated, but that means that sickness produces, which we already know, more retro elements, more exosomal expression. This is
the cell spewing things to survive, literally. Pass on the genome. Somehow, get it out. Let's go.
Like a life raft.
Yes.
Well, those last clips come from a documentary that Brent Leung and team released a month or so ago called The Emperor's New Virus, which is available for download on YouTube, and you can share that in your classrooms, and virologists can read it. Now, clinicians and technicians who listen to this, and I hope you will say, well, I don't just interpret things. I mean, I go according to the literature. You know, I do what I'm supposed to do in the lab. Well, read the package insert for the thing that you're running. Look at the spectrophotometer and realize that you're putting a level on this thing that's in a consensus agreed place. If you lower or raise the little line that you're reading positive or negative above, you're going to have a real problem. They put it at a certain level, but then you have to double do it and then interpret it and ask for interpretive results. And then if you get something that doesn't seem right, you're probably going to say it's a false positive, because that happens too. If you get somebody coming in who's really not supposed to be in your group, go and realize where the test clinics are. Realize that this isn't if we did 100% testing in the United States, probably about 50 to 70% of people in the country would supposedly be infected with something that they got from sex, including a lot of children that never had sex and didn't have positive parents. That's because the tests are not only nonspecific, but they are now criminal. We've made them criminal. No longer accept the verdict of HIV tests. Let's listen to Hans Gelderblum, a microscopist and an MD, yep, and a PhD, working in, I believe, in Germany. If I get that wrong, I apologize. No, it's Berlin, Germany. Worked on the first so-called AIDS, HIV or LAV isolates. What does he have to say about it? What did they actually have in front of them in the lab? Brent Leung goes and asks this venerated, older, highly experienced, very proficient technician about what they saw in the beginning. And that, remember, it didn't get better after
that. The basis, the foundation.
This is the Nobel Prize winning quote. This is about the Nobel Prize winner right here, right now.
Now, all these pictures here,
yeah,
are these all from culture?
All from culture.
Do you have any from the gradient?
Yeah, there's 80% of dirt.
Oh, 80% of dirt.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Okay, the pictures that you have are all from culture. In other words, they're from a witch's brew that you've cooked up with stimulants and other chemicals and cancer cells and God knows what you have in here, umbilical cells. You can't isolate her. There's nothing. So what do you have from the gradient? The gradient is the thing that you spin and you're supposed to separate stuff. He says, do you have any from the gradient? Yeah. They're 80% dirt. He means crap. He means cellular detritus, debris.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have 20% pure particles. You have 80% dirt. And 80% dirt doesn't mean that you have 20% great
stuff.
What
does it yield?
It means the thing is 100% contaminated. You have no idea what any of it is. If you pick and choose at that point something that you say is magically responsible, you're making it up in your head. Let's listen to it again. The quote continues. We'll listen to it from the beginning in context.
Now, all these pictures here,
yeah,
are these all from culture?
All from culture.
Do you have any from the gradient?
Yeah. There's 80% of dirt.
Oh, 80% of dirt.
Yeah.
Oh.
And therefore, I didn't like that, but it was necessary for us to control, because this house in 85 already established ELISA antigen material.
We had to do this, he's saying. I didn't like it, he said, but we had to establish ELISA test. We built the ELISA test out of 80%
dirt.
That's Hans Gelderblum talking about the Nobel Prize winner.
The foundation of the entire thing that was to become the AIDS industry.
Let's let him finish his quote.
For testing people. There was nothing commercially available, but we had to purify. We had to look at the material that was used for the ELISA. 80% dirt. Okay.
Okay.
That's the truth.
80% dirt, that's a tooth, he said.
That's a tooth.
No, I believe he said,
that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Wow. You want a stunning? We just, again, you think it couldn't got worse for them? It just got worse.
I believe they're reeling. I think the heavyweight has just, yes, he's gone to his knees.
He's gone down.
He is down, on his, is he going to, we're counting.
Out for the count,
three,
right?
4, can he get, no, he's swaying, oh, he's down on the mat, 7, his girlfriend is crying, 8, 9, his manager's walking away, 10, the fight is over.
That's it, December 1st, 2011, it's done.
We're done.
Knockout, not even technical, total knockout.
80% dirt, not 20% good stuff. When something is 80% contaminated, if you choose, it's 100% contaminated. When you choose, you can't say that the you don't know. It's nothing. And it was never anything. And they never had anything that hurt T cells. That idea came a little bit after. I don't think Montagné even had a clue of that fiction.
Well, and they no longer claim it, do they?
Well, they've walked away from it. They're, it's a mystery.
Right.
How the HIV that is 80% dirt, in other words, doesn't exist as a unique particle and doesn't do anything, affects T cells, is something that you have to send more money to Anthony Fauci for.
Where does this put, one of my favorites of all time, Peter Duisberg? I've interviewed Professor Duisberg over the years. Does this vindicate him?
I believe he would be in almost every way correct.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been correct, except that Duisberg, being a reductionist.
The Duisenberger.
Bought into the idea, mm-hmm. as did Gallo, because they are kind of, they are twin minds in a way. They come from the same factory. They believe that you can get stuff to get spit out and call it a virus. Now, Duisberg will call that a virus. He's incorrect. It's not. It's not an infectious particle. It's something being spit out of cells. We haven't arrived at an understanding of the body so comprehensive so as to understand what they're now calling exosomes. These things might be for repair. They might be what Janine Roberts, author of Fear of the Invisible, calls little text messages being sent by cells. We're not there yet, and nobody can give you a definitive answer. They don't cause disease. They're little messengers or engineers. And by the way, that's not the cause. It's not even implicated. They're not. There's nothing pure in it. They took proteins out of people who had all kinds of illness. They mixed them with cancer cells that were growing. By the way, the biggest joke of this giant joke is that they grow these proteins, which are supposed to be a virus that kills T cells, in T cells.
Oh, interesting.
They grow the thing that's supposed to kill T cells in leukemia T cells. They call them immortal lines because they never die.
They're the ones that don't die, yes. I love it. This is comic book stuff.
It should be. And today, on World AIDS Day, as everybody runs around and pretends that this is a sex problem, I want you to walk out into the world and rub the sand from your eyes and look around and walk up to people and saying, HIV is fake. AIDS may be real for a lot of people. Immune deficiency is real. HIV is fake. You acquire immune deficiency one person at a time. You acquire it through the way that you are poisoned, or the way that you live, or the way that you choose to die a little bit every day. And I'm not trying to put people down. We live in toxic, poisonous environments. But if you're an HIV slave, if you're sitting there popping the drugs into your mouth, waiting for tomorrow not to come, waiting for the new drug to come out so the side effects aren't as bad, how are you going to shake? How are you going to rouse yourself from this? I don't know if you can. If you're not an HIV slave, your job now is to walk out into the world and say, I don't believe in this because the tests don't work, and the tests come from the virus that isn't there. And I know you can make nice computer models, and I know the consensus agree, and I know you can take pictures of cells and budding particles, but you can do that in the healthy people too. So don't be fooled by bait and switch. You can do it in the healthy people, in the pregnant people, in the sick people. This is a broken mythical paradigm. AIDS is real. HIV is fake.
And with that, I don't think we have to do anything more. Actually, we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about some of the news of the day on World AIDS Day. We'll call it World HIV Fraud Day. And with new eyes, with new lenses, we're going to look through. In fact, we're going to remove those lenses so you can see clearly about these news stories, what they really mean. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Check out all the links, including all the video footage from Extensions of the House of Numbers, documentary by Brent Leung, and Liam is in there. And you've got it all up at robertscottbell.com. You can check it out at liamscheff.com as well.
And reducetheburden.org.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be right back with more powerful healing on this very special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
The masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Consciousness. It's always about consciousness. The things we're relating today are not necessarily different than what we've been relating for many years, but the consciousness has changed. It's shifted. The openness to this information, it's different. It's a different time. People are no longer worshiping the authorities, the authoritarians, the officials, right, in the same way. That doesn't mean there's still not a lot of that worship going on. But the things we've covered here with Liam Scheff today on the Robert Scott Bell Show are empowering in so many ways for those that do not want to be pharmaceutical victims. And there have been many. We would acknowledge a number of brave souls that have come before us that we've had on this program as well that have passed from this plane. And we're not going to go through everybody, but that have stood up courageously but have been too damaged by the things that we are covering. Not that we are covering it as damaging, but the fact is that the entire paradigm as it evolved. And many people were attacked for asking questions, attacked for revealing, such as Liam. I've had Celia Farber, who has written on this extensively over the years, was attacked viciously for her Harper's article on the subject some years ago. The Gelderblum, the guy we just covered, the audio, remember in House of Numbers when Brent asked him, is that the HIV particle? There's a big picture. Maybe we can have this posted. And he says, probably.
And that's his 20%, 80% dirt and 20%.
Probably. That's not science. You can't say probably and then rehinge the whole thing on, we've identified it and isolated, here's the picture. That doesn't work. And it used to work. It no longer works. It works in the belief system, but it's black magic. And we've revealed it as black magic. We've revealed it in so many ways, Liam. You and I have talked about this on the show for a lot of times as well. But unquestionable now, it's been dismantled.
You know, I you mentioned me doing good mm-hmm. investigative journalism. I'm a good compiler. I'm a good investigator. But I have to tell you, there are people who helped me understand this. One, my macrobiotics teacher, he's not a published guy. You wouldn't know him. But he taught me. His name's Jim Cowla. And mm-hmm. he taught me by running the group for people with HIV, or supposedly, we called it AIDS and cancer. And a lot of people were doing fine and getting better, except the guy who came in on AZT and was pretty broken at that point. I learned in the early 90s that AIDS was this multifactorial thing that you could survive with. And, you know, mm-hmm. Jim didn't peddle it hard to me. He just said it's multifactorial, and like anything else, if your body works and it's strong, you'll be fine. Well, I watched that happen. I watched people be fine. I watched people who had partners who were not living very well maybe die, but they never did, and they slept with them all the way through, and they never had an issue because their lifestyle was different. Now, that's coming from my personal experience. And then when I got into this research, there was the, basement setting, what would we call it, foundation laying work of Joan Shenton.
Mm-hmm. We've interviewed here.
There was the foundation laying work of a person called Ian Young, who's a writer that most people don't know, but if you go to virusmyth.com, you read Ian's articles, formative in my understanding, and taking what I already knew about the gay community, what I already understood through my own experience and being close to a lot of people, and saying, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And Casper Schmidt's incredible article on the psychosomatic condition of this community, beaten up as it was, cajoled and forced into this, and you go on down the list: John Lauritsen, Michael Ellner, Celia Farber, braving thorns and blood and stones and arrows as a young writer, you know, just saying, I'm covering what they're saying mm-hmm. and reporting what was actually happening. She called it words from the front, and it was. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, just a panoply of people, and you can go to virusmyth.com and you'll see the names, Jad Adams, people, you know, you might not hear about anymore, but they did.
They set the stage
work
for our ability to understand what we've done and report on and go further with it. Of course, we mentioned Professor Duisberg, who started a lot of this as
right.
well. David Rasnick.
The great great thinker.
Yeah.
Rodney Richards, if you want to have a lot of fun and you're an incredible techno geek, you can go to the British Medical Journal debates. They're 300 and 400 entries long, you know, and read those between the so-called experts, Robin Weiss and these bloody fools. I think we actually can get a quote from Robin Weiss for near the end of the show. You know, beating up on the guys who are saying what you're, you know, like Rasnick and Richards and others saying, what you're saying isn't making sense. I'm going to point out the logical fallacy. I'm going to point to the research. And these guys come back and they call them hateful denialists and murderers. And you say, that's not science. What you're practicing is voodoo witchcraft. So there are beautiful, groundbreaking articles that have been written and written and rewritten. I jumped into it in my own way, with my own experience, with my own background, coming from my own family, a family of medical researchers, a family of doctors. I had my own karma and my own dharma to exercise or whatever. So I just want to say, if you're hearing it for the first time, understand that people have bled for this. They've literally bled for it, just to tell the truth about what's happening inside of medicine.
Mm. And in this case, there are more people that we couldn't mention, in no slight on anybody that we don't include officially, but there are many that I've interviewed over the years, and you know who you are. We're grateful for everybody's work in moving this forward. And like Liam, I had a mentor in my own right in the homeopathic and holistic and naturopathic realm that said the very same thing early on, without knowing all of the details of the science. But Duesberg did set the stage for a lot of people questioning, and said it's just not possible for a retrovirus or even a virus to do everything that they ascribed to the LAV, HTLV, 123 HIV. It just isn't possible, and it's still not, it never will be, or it would have been happening throughout history, which it hasn't. So there are so many ways that we can look at it, but today we really wanted to uncover it and utilize their own words, the scientists' so-called AIDS orthodoxy, use it against them. We didn't have to do anything but help to explain some of this and kind of move it along so that one less human can be victimized by this black magic.
It is HIV Fraud Day, and you're going to turn, and what you can do today is you can take this audio broadcast and the video that's downloadable, and you can give it to your clinician. Mm-hmm. You can give it to the test clinics. You can show it in your school. You can put it up on your blog. If you have a website, a blog, a newsletter, take the information and say, hey, watch this, listen to this. They're not joking. They're not trying to sell you anything. I'm not selling you a product. I'm not making billions from selling you a product, the drugs that desiccate you and demolish you. I'm telling you that that illness is real, but this one cause, one size fits all thing was a total invention. It came out of a particular period in history, mm-hmm. with a particular fascination on trying to create an idea that cancer was caused by a virus. That's where all this came
sure,
from.
Sure, yeah. They were looking for something. They didn't find it. They had to find something, and that's where this saved the CDC. This saved an entire, or created an entire new industry. The cancer industry was waning because there was no cure, despite Nixon's war upon it. And so this became the new cancer industry, and billions and billions and billions funneled into it. And of course, it's been a self-fulfilling disaster for a self-destructive community, of which we don't need to go into further. But also want to acknowledge Harvey Bialy, who's written extensively on Duesberg about this whole thing as well. And I've interviewed him many times over the years. The guy's got a mind like no other.
Like a Wolverine.
Oh my gosh. So there have been some amazing, amazing things we've covered on this program over the years. I'm hoping that we don't have to do this next year. I realize that not everybody's going to come along and be ready for this, but more people than ever.
I'm not doing this next
year.
And we're
just here for those that are ready to hear it and act differently on this kind of information.
We can play this next year.
By the way, you know, there's some news stories here.
Wait, we have a few minutes.
Go ahead.
Robin Weiss did want to say something about, you know, because they did work very hard. I think he has Dr. Robin Weiss of King's College. What is that?
I think my scientific reasoning was perfectly correct. But I was deluding myself nonetheless.
Oh, well, thanks for coming out. And
that just encapsulates the whole thing. Thank you, Robin Weiss.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Robin
that
Weiss, AIDS
much.
Expert, who says that Western blots don't need to be used, and who says that we still have a lot of work to figure out how HIV causes AIDS. AIDS is real. HIV is fake.
Yep.
Don't line them up. Walk away. Put down the test.
Evidence of the awakening, Liam. Producer Don just sent me this through Fierce Vaccines. University of Toronto researchers surveyed people at risk of contracting HIV and found that misconceptions about the safety of the vaccine trials are slowing research efforts. In other words, people have a general distrust now of medical professionals. The researchers found many individuals believe participating in the trial could cause them to contract. I mean, the confusion is there. They're acknowledging that people are waking up and it's making it difficult for them to test these things now. This is an amazing time. It's changing.
Things are changing. Now, I want to read. I went to the Magic Johnson Happy Get a Free HIV Test. Well, it was a rapid test. Remember, the rapid test is, we read the language on the show the other day.
Yeah, just the other day.
Not is intended for use as a point of care test to aid in the diagnosis of infection. No, it's not a diagnosis. It's a helper. This test is suitable for use in multi-test algorithms designed for the statistical validation. What? Gobbledygook. Go ask your lawyer what it means. Here's what it says. This test is not approved to screen blood, plasma, cell, or tissue donors. It is intended as an aid in the diagnosis. But wait a second. Here's something that just caught me, and I said, hold on a second. Remember, Duesberg's argument was always, if you have antibodies to something, you've encountered it, and your body's turned it away. What do they say now? Yeah. How do you develop a vaccine, which is based on the principle of making antibodies, which is already a kind of a false principle?
Yes.
But how do you make a vaccine to something through which the supposed route of infection is the presence of antibodies? That's what HIV tests are supposed to measure. And we've already demolished that. They don't. They just right. encounter normal proteins. A person who has... What does this say? This is from the Clearview test used right over here in Florida and where you are in your neighborhood. If you're poor enough and black enough anyway, they put the vans in your parking lot, but not in La Jolla. A person who has antibodies to HIV is presumed to be infected. Wait, except that a person who has participated in an HIV vaccine study may develop antibodies and may or may not be infected.
Right. There you go. Say it again.
A person who has participated in an HIV vaccine study may develop antibodies. That's the purpose
Excuse
of vaccines.
Me. The people are not confused. In fact, it's the researchers that
and may
are confused.
Or may not be infected.
Yeah.
So the presence of antibodies, which means that you're supposed to be infected if you're in a risk group, may or may not
die.
Mean, and you're not going to die. And in other words, if you turn left at Albuquerque and put your shoe in the hole, you should be able to pilot the plane directly into Satan's bells.
If that's not clear enough, I don't know what more we can do. We'll be back with one final segment on this special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. My dear friend Liam Sheff contributing like no other on this subject. Again, gratitude to everybody that preceded us to help us get to this point. And thanks again to Brent Leung. All the links are up there to the extended footage from House of Numbers on the HIV testing fraud. We'll be back in a moment to wrap it up.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
So, boys and girls, what do we do with this information? Life-changing in a positive way information, but yet we now need maybe a to-do list. Do people want to be told what to do? We don't like to tell people what to do, but what would we do with this information? What could we that would be beneficial and positive? I don't think anything we did today was fear-mongering, Liam. In fact, it was the opposite. It was, you know, alleviating fear by going back to the very science that is used to induce fear, and fear induces disease, immune deficiency, cancer, etc. Eliminating fear, I think, is pretty good.
We have to get you, the listener who's heard about this, to go to your social network, however you maintain it, and say, look, you've never heard this before, but you need to listen to this, because we can't be party to imprisoning people, enslaving people. This is not any different than slavery. There was a point where slavery was legal, and it was approved of by many people. It was defended as a social custom by many people. We have to engage this, because it is slavery, in the same manner. You have to say, there are people who are being made slaves. They're given a test result that's totally fraudulent, and they're murdered over, it may be over time, but they're murdered, and their life is constricted, restricted. Mm-hmm. Their social network is reduced, and they're made to wear, literally, truly, a scarlet letter. It's no mistake that they chose red for the ribbon. It's a scarlet letter. Mm-hmm. They wear it around, and they have to brand themselves as sexual lepers in their lives, in their personal lives, and in their neighborhoods. Everybody who's been told they're HIV positive, you are no longer HIV positive. You may become sick. You have to decide on your own that this is the case. You have to do the research if you need to. Unless this has been enough for you, you have to go and read it so that you understand it. You then have to learn to take care of yourself, which is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing the test result away will not make your body better if you have been intoxicated, if you are burdened, if you have mm-hmm. terrible stress illness, whatever is eating at you. And if you create an artificial schism in your mind and say, okay, intellectually I understand what you're saying, but I still really believe it, then you believe it. Don't tell – you know what I'm saying? You have to work through it in your own way, in your own time. But we have to be free to talk about it, because this is slavery. There are mental slaves in the world. There's an entire generation, 2-3 generations of mental slaves who mm-hmm. believe that something that is not a sex disease, that doesn't cause any sexual scarring at all, is a sex disease. It's not. It is acquired. AIDS, immune deficiency, is acquired in your own life by the way that you are poisoned, or the way that you live, or the way that you are intoxicated by the culture, the world that you live in.
Another thing you may decide to do, which would be much to your better health, would be to leave the CDC church. They still are claiming, you know, leading up to the day today, that basically the spread is still on. We've got to get this under control. Dr. Thomas Frieden from CDC, he said at a press conference on Tuesday, the most encouraging new finding is that when people start HIV treatment, aka chemotherapy type drugs, when their immune systems are still relatively strong, they admit that they're just treating people that are basically, they're okay. But they're 96% less likely to infect their partners. Well, the Padian study that we talked about, 0% transmission, 0% conversion, infection of other partners, without drugs, without HIV treatment, without CDC propaganda. Again, coming back to that, they're pulling numbers out of their aspirin here to frighten you. And now you can see through the lies. You can see through the scientific gobbledygook that is used, because they're the priestcraft of the church of biological mysticism. As John Rappaport has so well said and written, they're wearing the white lab coats. They're intimidating you no more, because now you've seen through it. You've heard their language. You've heard it from their own mouths. It's time to look at them, if not laugh. I mean, laugh in a macabre fashion because of what they're doing is so macabre, but you basically disempower them. They no longer have the death stick that they can point at you or anyone else. You've unplugged from their cult. You've unplugged from their black magic. They no longer have the power over you.
And remember, there are a million reasons on earth why people get sick. AIDS is real enough. Immune deficiency is real enough. HIV is fake. It is fake. You can understand that by listening to this, by watching, by reading the medical literature. You can put it away. We can all begin to deal with the reality of illness and getting better. We can stop with their one cause forever sex disease. It's a fake. It's a myth. It's a powerful myth. I'll give them that. Hmm. It's a myth that grabs onto the subterranean thoughts that have run through our Judeo-Christian culture for a long time. Fears of witches, fears of sex, fears of the invisible, as Janine Roberts brilliantly called her book. That's what it is.
Hmm. I would encourage you, if you can, in the coming new year, in 2012, to attend the Health Freedom Expos, first in Long Beach in March, and then usually in June in Chicago. Liam and I will be there. Liam will be presenting on this subject, and we'll have available some booklet material and some video material for you to strengthen your ability, your resolve, your posture in addressing this and helping others who are ready to be helped. That's just one of many things. But No, go ahead. Get to the downloads of this. See the links at robertscottbell.com, at reducetheburden.org, those links that are up in Natural News as well, and, of course, at liamsheff.com. You will have the information. You will have the power, that which is yours and no one else's, which is what we do every day here. Liam, I want to thank you again for really doing a lot of homework to get this thing out in this way, so concise and so clear.
Brent Leung, just such a gifted young guy, still a young guy. You know, I mean, he made this thing in his 20s. It's a remarkable thing that he did. He was called to ask and answer a question, to get these guys on the record to tell the truth, as Hans Gelderblum said. Yes.
And he's changed the future because of it in a very powerful and positive way. And we thank him. Hats off to you, Brent Leung. And thank you to all of you who are listening regularly to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you're new from around the world listening to this for the first time, there are hundreds of hours for you to catch up on many subjects that will enhance your immune system without poisoning it. We'll detoxify you in a ways appropriate to you. You will decide, because the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.